Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for being here, everybody. It is a crowded room. Good to see everyone here. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Sunday evening show. Darren Bouquer could not make it this evening. Something about blah, 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 getting married. So instead, I myself and a very, very gifted psychic, Mr. Kevin Baird, shall be here this evening, and we'll discuss spiritual concepts as well as open the lines for readings. So join us this evening in this time of rebirth and fertility. And welcome to our Sunday evening show. This one is being called Little Lamb, How Did You Go? Astarte, it's Astarte and Astara, and the time of fertility is upon us. I'm going to be joined in just a minute as I get him on the line by Mr. Kevin Baird, but before that, let me do some network announcements. You're listening to the Main Street Universe Radio Network, Nature Universe is not just one show, but a network of five shows as we speak. Usually on Sunday evenings, it would be at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. All of these announcements are Eastern Time. And it would be Spiritual Insight with Mr. Darren Bouquet. Darren Bouquet is a palm reader and intuitive and psychic medium and tarot reader who works for Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo in New Orleans. On Monday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Walking on the Sidewalk with your host, Kevin Baird. Kevin Baird is the creator of the Horizon Oracle cards. It's an oracle deck of cards from which to do divination from. You can find out more about Kevin Baird as well as his artwork and other things at www.templeofgaia.com. On Tuesdays at 11:30 a.m. is our only a.m. show, and again, all the times being Eastern Time, and it's Wisdom with Mary Phelan. Mary is a 14-year veteran television hostess of the show Telepathic TV. Now, on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, we have our flagship show. The one that started it all, the one that Kevin and I started together. Main Street Universe, the flagship show. 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and this week we're going to be discussing hair. Now, and the spiritual properties, as well as green hair care products. So I'm actually going to be stepping back on that show as the main host, and Jesse Ann Nichols George and Janice are going to sort of take that show. And I will still be there taking calls and monitoring and doing all that sort of fun stuff. Now, on Thursday evenings, we sort of have a swing shift night where we do a lot of different things, so be sure to tune in somewhere between the hours of 7 and 10. Sometimes we do something interesting there, or bring on a guest host. Friday, 12 p.m. midnight, it's Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour with our host, Jesse Ann Nichols George. She's the author of two books, Activating Compassion and Activating Compassion, the Workbook. She's working on a new one. And it should be interesting, fun, and exciting. Last week, her guest was a creator, Thomas Christian Wolfe, of the Messenger event, which is an artistic event with brilliant angel tapestries accompanied with the orchestra, and they're going to make a major movie about this thing. So, very exciting, very interesting. Then, of course, as we said, back, we've come back to the Wheel of the Week. And it will be back to Sunday, which will normally be 7 p.m. Eastern Time with your host, Darren Bouquet. So those are our network announcements. Five shows on the network now. And I'm going to go on ahead and bring on Mr. Kevin Baird. Are you there, Kevin?
I am. Hello, and happy Easter and Ostara.
Happy Ostara. Happy Easter. I actually was in a ritual this morning here in Virginia, so that was...
I had mine on Saturday.
Oh, good, good. And nope, it's not Scott, Kevin, it's just me.
And that's Secret Garden by Diane Arkenstone.
Secret Garden by Diane Arkenstone. And when is her album coming out?
The 26th, and it's called Union Road.
And that's going to be her new album. For those of you that don't know, Diane Arkenstone has been on our network before as a guest on Kevin's show, Walking on the Sidewalk, and she has had an album debut in the Billboard New Age charts at number 11, or debut at number 16 and get as high as number 11. That's pretty impressive.
Thanks for calling. The show you wish to listen to is currently full. Please try.
So we are opening the lines for readings if anybody is interested. This evening I will be reading, and so will Mr. Kevin Baird from the Horizon Oracle. It is not a tarot deck, it is an oracle deck that my friend Kevin, who's on the phone now, had created. And maybe, Kevin, since no one's on the phone, you can go into your creation a bit, maybe perhaps the motivations or any aspects of your inspiration for creating this group of oracle cards.
Hello?
Yes.
Well, there was some kind of weird connection where there was someone else. Was there someone else on the You didn't. It's only you and I. You haven't unmuted anybody else?
It's supposed to be just you and I.
Well, there was something that was bleeding through for another show that ended up cross-talking, which is the terminology for phone lines when you're talking to somebody on the phone, and then you hear another conversation that's totally unrelated to the one that you're having on your phone at the same time. We were having a crosstalk issue, so you'll have to go back and listen to it in archives. But my deck is the Horizon Oracle, and I've struggled over the years as to what the title should be. But since I have mostly Horizon-type pictorial images that a lot of people just said, like opinion, that probably Horizon something would be a good idea. So it's a Horizon Oracle, and I consider myself a student of the imagery as well. It's 111 images, and I consider myself to be the primary student because I don't know all the messages perfectly. And whenever you bring two cards together, I don't know, it's like a 10,000 possibility if you have 111 cards, and you look at two cards, what's the possibility of a repeating kind of sequence? Either, you know, you got the tower, or the, not the tower, but the, like the sandcastle stompers, or the planned failures card, and then maybe the, the view card where it shows the light bulb that's burnt out kind of thing. That could show up so many different ways. And what it is, it's just basically what I refer to as a dramic strip, to where you just have two images, and it's your divine source communicating with you through those images about the question or what you need to ponder about the situation that's coming up before you. And then I have more information about it. Just go out to my website, templeofgaia.com, and if you look on the left-hand side, the columns talk about the times associated with the cards, and it has drop-down menus, so you can go through and have a look at that. So that's the deal on my deck there, Mr. Daniel.
Yes. And it has been funny because I've been in situations where I was reading this deck next to somebody that was reading a tarot deck. And, of course, I still really love the tarot, but I use the Oracle deck now is my primary deck, and sometimes I'll bring both of them with me. And to watch them do like the long spread and everything, and it looks like they're just doing a lot. And I'm laying two cards down of these two little simple black and white cards, and it looks like such less of a drama presentation. But I enjoy the simplicity of that, you know, of that approach.
It's Zen.
And as well as I enjoy the classical tarot as well. But I do use the Horizon Oracle deck now. It has switched and become my primary one that I read from. And Kevin, we do have a caller.
All right.
And I might let you take the first one.
Okay.
920, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello. Hi, gentlemen. How
Hello,
are you?
How are you?
I'm doing okay.
How are you?
Good. I guess I tuned in and I heard about all these wonderful cards and I thought I'd call. And I thought, okay, what am I going to ask about? And I think I'm going to try and ask about career and life direction because it seems like a lot of things are changing for me. And once I go off and think I know my direction, things kind of change again. So I'm just wondering if you can tell me what's going on with career, excuse me, and maybe relationships or love life.
Okay. Well, what I get about your career thing, and then it can sort of fit in with your love life as well, it's like, how are you looking out for you? And how... It's like it can't always be about the other people. It has to be about you for a change. And I'm looking at the Rituals card, and the Rituals card talks about taking time out for yourself. to just have some quality time, maybe have a double latte cafe mocha or something, or a Ben and Jerry's moment and your favorite movie and you have the remote in your hand and no one can tell you to turn it up, turn it down, or is there something else on that we can watch? It's all about situation happening for you. Now,
Yes.
Right, go ahead.
I agree. I'm heading towards that way very much so in my thoughts, and thank you.
Yeah. And I feel like I should say happy birthday. I'm not sure if you've had a birthday recently or anything, but like in the last, like I would say first of the year, right around then, I feel like this was a new birthday year for you, to where you, it's a new awakening, a new realization about things as well. With all the streaks in the air, you know, with the comets and the meteors and everything but the moon hitting the planet kind of thing, I'm looking at the repercussions card, and it's in the reverse position. It talks about the things that happen in the sky that appear to be cataclysmic. And when we look at meteors and comets happening in the air or some kind of crazy plane activity or something, this talks about you sort of having your vision cleared out for you by having these things come in and clear out, you know, any kind of stuff that might be up there. You can look at the comets coming in and knocking out things that might be obstructing your view. And I don't mean to be too esoteric about that, but you're, with the rituals card, playing into your whole connection to your whole life. You know, like when you're happy, the world around you is happy as well. And this, with the repercussions card being in the reverse position, it talks about things that appear to be catastrophic or could be catastrophic if the dial got turned up a little bit, are really clearing sort of like the horizon for you, so there's no obstructions that would be blocking your view. So I would say for your career thing and your relationship thing is to just go and be selfish or be self-oriented, really, because selfish is such a negative word. Let's focus on being self-oriented and have some me time. That's what the rituals card talks about. And that's all I have. Daniel?
Well, that sounds interesting. I like how you said sometimes when you get into or think about any kind of relationship with someone else, it's important to be, of course, happy and comfortable with yourself first. Otherwise, who is being presented to this other new person? So in able to not risk neediness, it's good to be strong and happy within yourself. So I think that's a very positive reading, actually.
Well, thank you. Do you see any kind of, or can you tell any kind of direction I should take with career?
Okay. Kevin, I'll go ahead and take this.
Go ahead.
What I'll do, ma'am, is I'll shuffle these real quick. You'll hear it.
Okay.
Tell me when to stop. This involves your energy into the cards.
Okay. Okay, you can stop.
Okay. Now I'm dividing into two piles. I'm going to go ahead and pick them two. Yeah,
I'm sorry?
Okay. This is telling me this is a very interesting message. And it's the Frontier card upright, which is a card saying you have the strength and the skill to move forward, but to be careful, because the next card is the hiding card in reverse. And what that card means to me personally, and it's associated with the time 902, is a potential for other people being dependent in their nature. Like if there's people or a possible potential person that has a dependent nature and wanting you to be some sort of enabler. And I don't know if that's a warning from the past or the future or both, but I'm getting a strong vibration from that card because that's like...
Yes, I think it's more from the past, just very, very recent past.
Right, and it's in your life soon, as this is a two-card reading, kind of just in that position. So what I'll also do is just draw two more.
Okay.
As we draw these in pairs.
Okay.
And the end one of this is looking in a very new direction, and it's the Horizons card, which is associated with the time 120. And the Horizon card is kind of how it just sounds. New territory to explore, and maybe in a different way that's brand new to you, to discover something interesting and useful, like maybe falling out of old ways of doing things, or old ways, whether that's old ways of meeting people or old ways of old habits of doing things. Say if it was for career, then that would be, okay, well, let me just try a totally new approach, you know. So it's about thinking outside the box and taking a very new approach to something. And the card before that is associated with the time 824. And that card is the Systems card. And that card is, you know, another one that's kind of just how it sounds. It's associated with groups, governing body. So what I'm seeing from this is that a new opportunity will happen for you based on contacts that might come and find you, but what I mean by that is coming and finding you from your efforts. Meaning someone within the next, say, 1 to 3 months from an organization, whether that be, you know, systems can be a lot of different things. I mean, you could be talking about, you know, PTA or or a government or just a group or a nonprofit, some sort of group or system that might help you engage in what was the next card, the Horizon card, because that was the order they came in, the system and then Horizon card. And the system was in reverse, so it's them looking at you. In this deck, the Horizon Oracle, when the cards are reversed, it's how others are seeing you according to the quality of the card. So it's saying that you might be approached, and then it might be a new interesting direction for you to go in that could help you with both finances and with meeting somebody new as you grow into a new direction.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
So something like legal, official, something in the system. I can even take that as far as meaning it can be a group that's just organized in any way, like it could be a charity or a nonprofit, maybe doing a charity work, and then somehow this brings like a new direction and new interest in meeting new interesting people and not going and trying to meet in the same old way, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are traditional ways people meet. They're not all for everybody. Everybody has, I guess, their different ways, but like if you've always been meeting your partner at a bar, maybe it's time to think of a completely different way. So it's not repeating the same mistakes in pattern and going towards a new, as it was the Horizon card at the end.
Right. Very interesting. Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And
anything else that comes to you guys?
Kevin?
That's all I get. That was good, Daniel, where you were talking about the Horizons. I got the repercussions card in reverse, and I was talking about how the comets and the meteors would end up clearing the sky for you, and the Horizons talks about having wide open areas, wide open terrains,
yeah,
ready for you to go and explore it.
It's
great.
Pretty good. And the frontier card that came before it in the first half of the reading is you have the strength, capabilities, and bravery and all that to take on new stuff, and it's just to realize that is all.
Okay. Well,
and the frontier card is you out on the frontier with the bare necessities, bare essentials.
Yeah, new territory.
And that's all.
Horizon one.
Mm-hmm.
But you also had the frontier card.
Yes, as well. Yes.
And that shows someone roasting a hot dog over a fire. There's no microwave. There's no Quick Mart or anything like that. You're surviving until you can get yourself established.
Mm-hmm.
And the important part about that card is that it's it is the aspect of saying, yes, it's on the frontier, but you can handle the frontier. You got,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have the strength to handle it.
Okay. That was great.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for calling.
No, thank you for your time.
Yeah, and we're on five nights a week. They're not always all reading shows. Tonight we're doing a reading show. We have quite a few reading shows. Kevin's is often our Sunday evening show that's normally on at 7 p.m. Eastern. Darren Bouquer, he's a reader at Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo in New Orleans, which is a fairly well-known of those types of stores throughout the country. And he's been on the Ellen DeGeneres show not that long ago. So he's a he's a really good reader that's here with us on Sunday evenings. He's getting married today, actually. That's why he's not here.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, thank you guys so much.
All right, thank you.
Have a great
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye. Okay. So it seems like a positive reading to me. Lots of just new stuff. It had to, that's what I was getting all over from that reading, trying a new approach.
Yep, and to take time out to be self-oriented.
Yes.
Don't give away your power all the time.
And she may have to be, because it's going to be on the frontier, and you got to be strong when you go out on the frontier. You know, got to be sure of yourself. And the card was saying, I hear a little bit of confidence in her voice, like she's okay kind of thing. You know, she'll do well. So...
And it's funny that the Frontier card is sort of an extension of the Horizons. So you can see the Horizon card being the from the perspective of the person that's roasting the hot dog over the fire. It's like, I have all this wide open space. What am I going to do with it?
Right, and that's what I had said. I sort of tied them together a little bit of saying they're kind of a similar message. Like, here you're on the new frontier, or... You know, you're on the adventure that's coming up on the horizon. They have a similar theme, plus another one you had played into a slightly similar theme. And as well as being strong within yourself, as the ritual card would suggest,
a ritual card.
Go out to that frontier horizon. You're, you know, strong, and you have the tools necessary, and, you know, all of that.
Exactly. So, yeah, that was a good reading.
Right now, there's no calls currently, but if you want, we can just pull a card and start talking about it, maybe.
Okay. And then talk a little bit about the little lamb, you know, where there's like Easter is a variation of the spelling of Ostara, Aster, and what were some of the other associations?
It all means Eastern Star is what it comes down to. Which is Venus. So thus the goddess Venus, Aphrodite in Greek. And it's a time of celebration of fertility.
And that's a star. That's a big star that we see accompanying the moon at night sometimes.
Yes, Venus can be very bright.
You see in the crescent moon, and it always has, like, a really bright star beside it. That's Venus. So it's like Venus is accompanying the mother goddess moon.
Yes. Which would all make sense mythologically. And a lot of old myth and all the old religions is based around things that happen in the sky. Now, this doesn't mean that I'm telling people that their religious myths didn't actually happen. What I'm saying is that the sky corresponds to them, such as the sun, you know, winter solstice,
right.
The sun and the southern cross. Well, the sun is hanging on the cross during Yule, which is the 3 days of resurrection. It's the 3 days where the sun, not only the Son of God, but the actual Son, is in the same position by the sign of the Southern Cross. And then it elevates after 3 days. So it's an astrological event as well as a astronomical event and a biblical story, as well as in old pagan myths and other things. They
Right.
Always watch the sky. when they were, that was back before home shopping network and internet. That was their entertainment. The ancient people looked up and looked at the sky. Even if today, if you just go out into the country and just see how much more bright and brilliant the sky is, I kind of live in a town or city, and you leave the city and you're like, wow, look how bright the stars are. And picking out all the constellations and all that sort of thing.
Yep, and the Mahabharata talks about sort of like battles taking place in the sky according to the alien or ancient alien theories.
Oh, yeah.
Out there.
Absolutely.
So,
Hinduism and in even old Christian paintings, there's sky battles that go on. I've recently been reading some of the Upanishads and other Hindu texts. I have the different Vedas here, as I live with Unitarian ministers, so I'm blessed to live in a house with a big library. So a lot of the old spiritual classics are all right there on my bookshelf. And there's definitely lots of old accounts, including in old Christian cathedrals, in the ceilings of them, that display sky battles. And some of them look like people in little spaceships. In Eastern Europe and in other locations, it's really fascinating. And to see, even in old Christian and Jewish temples, where on the floor are elaborate astrological charts left over from the pagan religions before the other ones came in. But they didn't get rid of the artwork for some of it, including some of the statues.
Right.
So it's interesting to see when the worlds combine. And, of course, there's a long history of the stuff going on in the sky. You have Ezekiel's wheels, for example. And they even mention, almost making it sound like machinery. You know, the loud sounds and things that are mentioned in the biblical verse mentioning Ezekiel's wheels.
Yeah, and that brought me to a discussion that I was having with somebody the other day about religion and how I felt that religion was really just a graphical believer interface that's wrapped around the mystery of divinity, sort of like the operating systems for the IBM computers before Windows was invented was just a cursor, a blinking cursor with the letter C right there, and that you had to type something in for it to do what it was that you wanted it to do. And that could be, you know, compared to ancient man before spoken word happened, that they would see a phenomenon happen and that they would only be able to draw it but not really communicate it very well until the written word came into existence. And then the written word followed into God coming into existence. So before the written word existed, the word God did not, if that makes sense.
Well, it does make sense because this becomes a very interesting debate. And part of this debate is, now I'm not trying to make a versus mentality here, I'm just having a debate. And that is what there are called the book religions, being Abrahamic, you know, being Christianity, and the book religions, Islam, Judaism, versus religions that don't rely so much on written texts, but just oral tradition and spiritual practice, usually just passed down through families, through, you know, dare I say, tribes. This can include, say, Native American, this can include African religions, this can include even, say, Celtic Druidic traditions, and Old English and Old Irish witchcraft and things like that, because those practices whether you called them all religions or not, and there's a lot of debate in those communities, so I'm just trying to be kind of peaceful here, and just saying those practices were oftentimes oral. Even the Druids that had many different levels of their own societies, they didn't write a lot of it down. So a lot of it that survived in what people know as a Druid today was actually by those that conquered them. It was from Rome and Caesar. So they conquer the Druids, and then they write the history. So when you have an oral tradition whose history is being written by someone else, that can be an interesting debate as to what survives, what's omitted. But getting back to the point, you were saying how, yeah, they came up with written word, and then they started coming up with words like God. Whereas now you're talking about God, rather, where the non-book religions were maybe thinking more that they were talking to God. There's an old quote by a Native American chief, and forgive me, I can't remember his name right now, when he said, your church talks about God in their ritual. In my ritual, we talk to God. And so there's this idea of religious debate and all of this, but when you're part of sort of a primal religion, you know, casting a circle, having a fire, get some drums going, get into a trance, maybe you include some mushrooms that are psychedelic or whatever is going on, now you're communicating directly with spirit and not debating concepts about spirit or rules or regulations. Now you're just engaging. You're asking for a divination. You're casting a spell. You're just giving thanks and an offering to nature, perhaps. So it is an interesting point you make, that when it became written word, to be that sort of written word interface, it may have changed how people look at spirit in general.
And then you got God 2.0, God 3.0, right? It's the patch updates.
Yeah, of course. Then the books keep updating themselves. Just like
the Catholic Church is going through that right now, where they are having to add female priests, you know, where they didn't before, and all that. That's upgrades.
Yeah, they're changing rules, they're upgrading, and yeah, it's funny to make it as a technology comparison.
Yep.
And they keep
The world evolves, so does religion.
Absolutely. And if it doesn't, most likely it doesn't survive. And the Catholic,
and those we don't know about today, because they got lost to the past, except for our ancient alien archaeologists who are rediscovering the Mesopotamian world and cultures that had a vast understanding about their gods and their religions and everything. And I was looking at the different gods they had, and I was reading a paper that someone went on and on about, like, the hundreds of gods that some of the Mesopotamians had. And I was thinking that those were really more like folders, because I was reading the article after I had the conversation with the person about the graphical believer interface that wraps around the operating system of divinity, that I was reading about all the different gods that some of the Mesopotamians had written about, and that this, I guess, writer was writing about them, and he was citing them with bibliographies and all that, references, you know, like AU as opposed to AO and AI and all. Then you have, like, uppercase AO and then lowercase, like, uppercase A and lowercase O. And I was just blown away by all the complexity of this, and I was seeing it as like a folder structure within the divine operating system that really just keeps us all together while we go about our existence here, and that each folder holds a specific program that helps us achieve the things that we want to achieve, like St. Andrew, what was he known for? And then you got St. Michael, and then you got the archangels. Each one of those can really represent an app in the operating system of this divine, you know, that has the graphical believer interface kind of stuff. Am I making it too complex?
No, I know what you mean. You're making it like a technological comparison with the way, you know, computers and updates and file folders and all of this while the rest of the system keeps going.
Because as above, so below, right? And so I sort of have to play that into the scene too. So down here we have DOS and the graphical user interface, which is Windows. And in heaven we have the saints, and there are unique saints and angels that cater to specific needs and demands that we have out there in the world.
Right.
Healing, fertility.
Almost like where
my dog.
And there's software out there which is like our thoughts and beliefs, emotions, and all the things we interact with. But it reminds me, there's a debate that was going on LinkedIn, and someone had asked the question. They had said, okay, religion and culture, and can you separate them? And one thing that often happens when people start discussions like this is you definitely get a lot of atheistic people that will say things, and they're pretty much open-ended statements like, oh, all religion is the cause of all the world's problems, and religion is bad, and there's impoverished countries where religion is sort of enabling the tyrants to take over. And my point is that saying that religion is the cause of the problem is kind of lazy, because that's the same thing as saying that if a philosophical order has an end result you don't like, then that's like saying, well, you know what? Philosophy's the problem. It's too broad to be the problem. It's not religion that has to change. It's humans that have to change how they engage it. So how humans use this, as you're saying, the software that's available to them. it's not the software itself that's evil or bad. It's or the folders or any of that you're mentioning, making a technological comparison. It's how we engage in it. Your computer isn't bad, but people can use it for creepy things. Philosophy isn't bad, but you can use it to corrupt. You can use it to tyrannize. The same goes for so many things. You don't blame the vast, broad thing itself. It's like blaming science for something bad in science. But you don't blame all of science. That's immature. And it's
like blaming Bill Gates for the hackers out there.
Yeah. I mean, if there's a science you don't like, and I'll think of one I don't like very quick, not very hard, GMOs. I'm absolutely disgusted by the growth of genetically modified seeds in the world. And in certain countries in Europe, they're starting to crack down. But it doesn't mean I blame science. So I'm saying the same thing about religion. Religion can be very liberating. It can be an extremely liberating force in your life if you use it properly. And by religion, I'm using that term very broadly and very universally. Spirituality, religion, however you want to say it. Remember that the original root word or the original Latin etymological history of the word religion basically just comes down to mean that which we do together. And I think maybe you could even interpret that as what I and spirit do together, even if it is alone or you think you're alone. So the idea of just blaming religion, you hear a lot of people do it, you hear a lot of intellectuals doing it. It, to me, it's lazy. It's a lazy intellectual approach to a problem. You don't, like I said, it's like saying all science is bad or all philosophy is bad. It's just not true. It's not all bad. It's how you engage it. It's what you do with it.
And then back on the computer thing again, there are some people who have old computers that can't take the new software updates. So they're sort of doomed to only use the software that was available at the time that they acquired their software tools. So for them to evolve, then they would have to go out and take classes or study or, you know, join different groups that are on the next level of the revision or the patch or the upgrade or whatever, well, right? Like going from, you know, Windows 3.1, and then there was Windows XP, and then there's Windows 7, and now there's Windows 8. For those people who don't have or can't go out and get a stronger, faster computer, then you're not going to be able to move into this next level of the operating systems and the graphical believer interface that can help you really grasp a better understanding of divinity and the point of divinity and how it's helpful in our physical world as well as our spiritual world.
Yes. And you could say, by, like you said, having the old hardware, perhaps you could make a comparison to they would have to then upgrade and or decalcify, meaning like in the case of the pineal gland, they would need to soften the pineal gland and accept new things and to release the rigidity or the rigidness of their third eye.
And that would be the mouse.
It could be something, yeah, some sort of upgrade, something to allow for new ways of thinking and new ways of being to flow through them instead of them blocking it. Because that's what a lot of people do. They have these, they have the natural ego blocks, like I think in my parents' generation. They weren't that fascinated with exploring new things. Felt like that a certain thing was handed to them. And I'm not trying to be mean, I'm just saying that's how many people of that generation think, and it was handed to them in the, you know, the 50s generation, and this is the America, this is how it's handed to you, this is how it should be, this is what a man should be like, this is what a girl should be like, and let's not disrupt the order, and there was segregation and everything else. And there is that blockage of accepting new things. They still talk about the 60s like it was a traumatic thing that people were liberating their minds. That's not traumatic. That's normal and natural. Something had to give. Of course they did. Weren't you paying attention to what was going on? I mean, you know, I've been in many debates with people that I've worked with, and I'm about 42 now, and I worked with a lot of people in that generation, especially when I was younger, and their minds are fixated to they thought they inherited something the way it should be rather than inheriting what we all have always inherited, and that is progress that should be worked on at all times. You don't want to stay fixated. You don't want to stay calcified.
Or at least, you know, try to think outside of the book once in a while.
Exactly. We're all on different places in the journey, and God is eternally patient.
And there are some people who like the video games that have the roles already outlined for them that they can play over and over and over again, which is where the religions come in. And then you have the hackers and the programmers out there who know there's more to divinity than what is in existence, and they're trying to explore that aspect of it. So it has an excellent parallel, divinity, all the programs or all the religions that are out there having a parallel to faith, religion, divinity. When I was a kid, when I was 10 years old, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and was baptized, and I was a full-on Christian. But as I started researching and studying,
that was about my age, too, when I did that.
When I started researching and studying it, I started asking questions to people who were touting themselves as being in the know. When I would ask the question of them, they would respond to me, but my psychic ability side, part being telepathic, you know, and being a bit of a mind reader just because it's body language, being a mentalist, however you want to look at it, I saw that they were not secure with giving me the answer that they had, even though their facade was playing the role of someone who was in the authority, I could tell at their core that they were not secure about the answer they were giving me. Not that I was all that in the six-pack or whatever, but I was asking them a question that probably rocked their opinion of their belief system as well. So as I ran into more and more of those situations, I sort of got away from the Christian operating system because it wasn't really, you know, I needed something a little more robust. So I sort of left that all behind and just started living my life as a mainstream person and not really having a religion out there, but just seeing all the headlines about this thing and the Falwells and the Swaggerts and the, you know, Jim Joneses and everything, and just shaking my head. It's like how ludicrous that is. Until I told you the story where I got into about 5 car accidents inside of about 45 days. And I felt like the universe was trying to get a hold of me, because when I told my insurance guy that I'd had my 5th car accident, he's like, if you have another one, I'm going to have to drop you. I'm like, why is that? They're all hitting me. And he said, you have to be doing something wrong. And that's when the light went on for me. So I went home. I sort of got like a case of beer, got a couple of pizzas, and I watched a bunch of, you know, like New Age and, you know, fantasy knights, castles, wizards, dragons kinds of movies, trying to find some magical interface that could help me get connected to who was trying to communicate with me. So, and that path led me to where I am here today, and the creator of the Horizon Oracle, which is basically facets of life that have been repeating themselves over and over and over again. I've captured them into images that allows us to set up an array for, like, the readings that we've done for people here today of things that we can expect to see through the next 90 seconds from now to, like, 90 days out, so we can plan for it, so when it happens, we can react to it with forethought, because this is something that's repeating and coming up again. Sorry for that long explanation, but that's sort of where I was in my Christian situation, where I went through my operating system upgrades that got me to where I am, really just a programmer or a hack today. See?
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. And what I'm going to do here, Kevin, is take a short break and play a song. And we'll come right back, all right? And this one, from our friend Tom Teasley, who may be a guest soon, called Nice to Be Back. right, everybody, we're back. And this is our Sunday evening show that we're doing here in place of Spiritual Insight. Normally with your host, Darren Bouquer. It's myself and my friend, Kevin Baird, sitting in this evening. We're having some spiritual discussion, as well as we did do a reading earlier, and the lines are open for readings if anybody wants to chime in and ask for either a specific sort of question to work on, and or just a general message from the universe can be nice. Are you there, Kevin?
I am.
What I'll do here, since we're here talking and we are reading from the Horizon Oracle deck, we'll go ahead and just draw two cards and maybe we'll just talk about them.
All right.
The two I have drawn, one of them you know I like because it used to come up for me when you used to occasionally do readings for me when we were working together here in Virginia. And that is the recognition card associated with the time 443. And to me, the recognition card is one of those ones. It's kind of how it sounds. It's a person standing on this sort of tree stump, sort of stool thing, talking in front of these other two folks. And there's a winding road behind them and a horizon behind them. And it's someone getting the recognition that they seek, getting the attention that they've wanted or needed. And it is associated with the time 443. And, you know, it's about expression and being heard. And no one knows what you can do until you express it and share it. So it's about getting your voice out there, getting your message out there.
And that is a good one for you. You're moving ahead in your musical career. You're up on stage.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I was today, folks. I was at open mic this evening, earlier this evening, open mic night, and played a few original songs. I've been practicing the guitar more and more and more, trying to get better and better and better at it, and working on set lists and working on everything else and different techniques. And the card before that of our two-card selection, is which is how you draw from the Horizon Oracle, is we like to do it by drawing two cards at a time, as if to say that...
Let's mention how they can get their own deck if they want to, just going to templeofgaia.com and clicking on the card image link. That'll get you to a little card window to where you can sign up to order your own copy of the Horizon Oracle. And then you can just follow along, you know, off the website, templeofgaia.com, and there will be a workbook coming out for the 2013 version of the Horizon Oracle deck in maybe August or September. I'm hoping for a little earlier, but with the way edits and everything are going, it looks like August or September. And what it is, it's a journey. And by getting a copy of the deck, you can sort of access the same divine source or cable network that I access and Daniel accesses to get the information that we're seeking about the situations that are afoot in our lives. But go ahead, Daniel.
Absolutely. So that's www.templeofgaia.com. And it also involves other things that Kevin is doing and other works that he's engaged in, including some artwork and other things that he does. And I guess I'll do a brief station announcement. You're listening to our Sunday evening show, usually at 7 p.m. Eastern, would be Spiritual Insight with Darren Bouquer. Monday evenings, again, all these shows are Eastern time. At 9 p.m. Eastern is my friend here joining us, his show, Walking on the Sidewalk, A Horizon Oracle's Journey, with your host, Kevin Baird. On Tuesdays at 11:30 a.m. is Mary Phelan. Her show is called Inner Wisdom, and she's a 14-year veteran of television. She's had a television show in the air for 14 years with Neville Johnston, and the show is called Telepathic Television.
Let me also add to that that Mary and Neville were master teachers of mine.
Yes.
I had my own like self-taught, self-paced kind of thing, But when I got to a point to where I needed someone else's opinion or guidance, I went to them for help in trying to understand this new crazy world that has fallen in front of me. So they are master teachers to me, and I will plug them every time.
Absolutely. So isn't it funny how this network has turned out to be a student and teacher network? Because I learned things from Kevin and from Darren Bouquet, who was my first tarot teacher. I mean, I took tarot when I was younger, but just self-study. And I had a deck. It was called the Greek Mythic Tarot. It's a discontinued deck that is going to be actually returned to me at some point. My friend Rick said he would give it back to me. But I didn't do it officially then. I sort of just, you know, I picked it up and read the little book and was interested in it. But when I actually took a class, the first person I took an official class was from Darren Bouquet, and then, of course, from Kevin Baird, who's on the phone with me now, taught me with the Horizon Oracle and other spiritual matters. And then, of course, Kevin's teachers are here on the network as well. So it's interesting. It's like a multi-layered, multi-generation teacher-student thing going on the Main Street Universe radio
network. That's cool.
Yes. And so anyway, Mary is 11:30 Tuesdays, a.m. Eastern Time. It's our one daytime show. And then 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday is Main Street Universe, the flagship show, with myself and hostess Janice. Janice is as well a host of a radio show at Fairfax Public Access Radio called The World Reggae Party. And then, of course, Friday evenings at midnight, we have Jesse Ann Nicholas George and her show, Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. She's the author of two books, Activating Compassion and Activating Compassion, the Companion Workbook. And she's working on another one now. So we are a network of five shows, and we sometimes have a Renegade show on Thursdays as well. And, of course, we have a website, www.mainstreetuniverse.com. So check that out as well. And a Facebook presence. You can check us out on Facebook and join our Facebook page and get all the updates very quickly as they happen.
Exactly.
Now, Kevin, the card I picked before, now that we're talking about all these plugs and everything, this kind of makes sense. The two that were picked was one was the recognition card and the other one was the networking card. And that's associated with the time 7:59.
Yes.
And it's one of those cards that sort of, as it sounds, working with networks, as well as I see it also as believing in yourself enough to sort of take, you know, both sides of the plug and plug them into each other, sort of saying, look, make the connections, take the action.
And we were talking about technology, you know, the parallel to divinity tonight, so sort of apropos.
Right. And
because the networking card can be a message about you might need a technology upgrade. So whether you need to go out and get a new phone, a new computer, maybe take some training, but also the networking is about working with other people who have functionalities that can work as a part of your world that creates a process that works for everybody. Because, you know, like the natural out there networking kind of stuff, if you're looking for a job, you have to go out and network with people. It's sort of like a play on words or something that's taken from computer networking. I wonder if there was networking, but that term was only coined once the computer industry got up and off the road, right? Or off, you know, up and running. See what I'm saying, Daniel? What do you think?
Absolutely. And speaking of networking and plugging in, we do have a caller on the line.
All right, let's hear from them.
352, we are on the air.
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing good. I was wondering if you guys were doing readings today.
We are.
I just, okay. I wanted to know if things were going to be better. I've been living in hell for the last past 3 months, and I don't know, I'm just really looking like my friends are not really my friends. They're not really there for me. So I wanted to know if you see anything or...
Okay.
Yeah.
Straight away, the few cards I have laying down, I'll get to them both and then explain what I'm seeing here. The one card is with the time 6:40, and it's the I'm okay card. Now, this is a card that is saying, and it's in the second position, that it's telling me that you are going to come out of this. In fact, I think this is also a card saying that there's someone from beyond, meaning that can either mean from beyond, like someone who's passed, or someone in a dream that may be someone alive, but someone in a dream may visit you to make you feel better about this. But you are going to walk through this. And the other card was the Days card associated with the time 6:10. And this is about perception. And this is about start to envision and see better days. And you'll leave them behind you. And I'm not just saying, oh, just think about it being better. What I mean is that start to change some of your default positions and default ways that you view things on a daily level. I view this as a way of perceiving each new day. And it is showing me a positive that it's going to get better, because the card is actually called the I'm okay card, the second card. And it's like it's sort of an angel. There's a person crying at a grave, and it's an angel visiting the person that's sitting there going, almost with a kind of a look like, okay, you're fine. You don't have to cry that hard. We understand you're sad, and things can be very sad. But if you are going to walk through this, and it is going to get better in the near future. And I'm going to go ahead and draw two more cards for you, and I'm going to shuffle them, and you tell me when to stop. I'm shuffling. Now, this will add your energy to the reading. Okay, good. And I'm going to pick two more cards. Okay. Now, this is showing me that there's a lot of distorted things that still have to be cleared up, but it is going to get better. And someone else may come and actually need your help in a positive way. This experience might actually... I'm getting some crosstalk here, so forgive my distraction. So,
it's funny because...
Go ahead.
You know, when I need someone, nobody's there for me. I've been through some things with the kid's father and everything like that.
Right.
And I see, like, every time they turn around, they're one by one turn their backs on me.
Right.
So I'm kind of sort of like, what's going on? And then I get my junk stole from me, and I'm laying in bed throwing up. I mean, my friend brings her friends over my house, and I get my junk stole from me, and I'm sick. I mean, how much
I'm seeing,
more?
And I'm definitely seeing that through the distortions card, which was saying deception, distortion, things not being seen clearly. And that, and again, this is going to take some patience. I do see a positive result, but there's some patience. The next card with the while card associated with the time 44. And
sometimes it just, you know, it's one of those cards that's a little bit as it sounds, you know, sometimes it just takes some patience, sometimes it just takes a while to wait things out. But how I see them in combination is because it's definitely saying that you've developed to the point where others are how am I trying to say this properly without messing it up? Point where others are, you know, taking advantage of you. And it's time to start. The next card I get after that, just as I was saying start, just as I was pulling it, that is, it's the first card. And it's really time to look in other directions, to start something new. And I'm getting an impression that this could come from, as I said before, some help is on the way. I think you're going to meet a new, interesting person that's actually going to help you with this. That's coming to me from the leading card in reverse, and as well as from the I'm okay card of saying someone watching you, and I mean literally from the other side even, that may be sending someone to you to help guide you through this and start something brand new and to get away from some of this bad influence. So it looks positive, but it's also showing me a lot of the muck that you're kind of in right now. And it may take a little while, because one of the cards was a wild card, which is patience, and it may take a little time. Or as Kevin says, these usually take between 90 seconds and 90 days. So this might be on the later half of, like, in about 2 to 3 months, it'll start to clear up and you'll start to see things a little bit new and might even meet an interesting new person to help you with this. That's what I'm getting from this reading. Whereas you feel
like as a,
now you're the one that's doing all the helping.
Dating?
But go ahead.
Like dating?
I think in general, yeah, it could lead to something of that nature. Kevin, are you there?
I am here.
Now, when I mentioned the leading card in reversed, how would you interpret associated with the time 1103? What was the final card I got from that?
That would be someone asking her to take leadership on a project or situation.
But that's what I saw with the card, which means the first card, that's the name of the card. Like, something new is going to happen, like a new project, and someone may come along to either help or to bring her to be part of something new and interesting that could help.
And you'll be the first one in that. So it would be something brand new, something you've not seen before.
Right.
You'll be the first one that gets to try it. And with your friends and everything taking advantage of you, that's really just a message about something you need to walk away from. It's less helpful than helpful. So those friends aren't really friends. They're just people that are taking up your mind space because you don't want anything absence or something. So,
and it's funny because as he was saying that, and he said walking, I pulled up your card that's called a walking card. And that's about meeting someone that walks the walk and taking a chance. The next card is the risk card. And that's definitely giving me a message to try. You're getting a lot of cards here, and they've never lied to me before, about newness, taking chances, getting involved with new people and new projects, and this will start to lead to your happiness and getting away from. Now, you might have ties to these people that you have to deal with. I understand that. They might be very serious ties. But it's really, this is about going out and trying a lot of new stuff, because you got the first card, you got the walking card, you got the risk card, you got the leading card. All these cards are about going out and taking new chances, and you actually got three of the four of the ones in this 111 card deck that speak to that. So this is about taking chances, finding people that walk the walk, and then all that, when you start to step into your new life from that, will help you deal with the other negative people much more easily, because you'll be stepping into a stronger new future. So to me, it's positive, but it'll take some patience and some work and risk. But I do see it working out, though, for you in this.
Okay. Now, this is what I want to ask, because I'm finally noticing my friends are not my friends. The three girls that came here yesterday, I have never met before, but they worked with one of the friend that I was talking about. I wonder know if she had anything to do with it, or did she know that they took things in my house? Like, can I trust her? Can I still be friends with her?
Okay. Kevin, you can take that?
Yeah, I would say that you've already learned, you already know how you can trust her. And the fact that you got stuff missing is evidence enough. We don't need to pull cards for you on that one. That's, I would say, if I had the chance, I would draw a walk-away card. You know,
walking card.
Right. Well, it just baffled me because she doesn't have the same phone I have. And so when my two of my chargers went missing, I'm like, she's like, well, it wasn't me. And she was like, and it couldn't have been Tabitha or anyone, because, and I'm thinking, yeah, it was, because it had to be. She came back to the house, she looked over, and she saw that it was all gone. And she's like, oh, well, I don't know, I think that's mighty strange.
I would say it's time to move and just get up out of that whole situation there.
I say it's time to move too, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
Especially with the situation with my kid's father and him harassing me and his girlfriend harassing me. I was in the process of trying to move, but I don't know when or where that would be.
Okay, well, as you were asking about the move, Kevin, I drew two cards. And the two I drew, one is interesting because it's fertility, and you were talking about children. It also means new things. And the next card after that, associated with time 317, is about, it's called the faith card, and it really is saying to have faith in the new place for you to go, that you're going to, you might not see it right now, but some help will be on the way, but it will require you reaching out, networking, looking for help, and there's positive results on the way. The faith card is very much about looking at a new horizon, a new place, and it's going to happen. And the fertility card.
Okay, will it be
from something new?
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. Go ahead.
It's in the fertility. Oh, it's going to be will it be a rental or will it be my own? Will I own the house?
Well, whether you rent it or own it, I'm definitely getting that it's the best move just to go to somewhere new.
No, I would say that you'll be renting part of the house or something, or you'll be staying with somebody
that'll help,
like a cousin or something.
Right.
That's in a whole new town, maybe a whole new state.
I'm kind of getting
until
that
you
too.
Can get your feet on the ground again. I would say
and
you need
worry
to be
about whether it's ownership or not. But first, the move, and have faith in the new move itself. Then, in stage two, like break things apart in stages. Then break it into, okay, then what next? But first, the important thing is, because there was a whole lot of cards you had in this reading, that were all about newness and going to new things and having faith and going to the new thing and taking a risk and just getting into something. A whole lot of new stuff going on in these cards.
Okay. Okay.
And remember that nothing's perfect. And sometimes you just have to take the next step and not think, oh, but is it going to be the perfect next step? But no, but sometimes it's just time for the next one. Even Martin Luther King said his famous quote was, take the next step. You know, don't worry about the other ones. They'll appear, but just take the first step. You know the staircase is there. You know the other steps are there. Just take the first one. Have faith in that, and you add the faith card. So take the first step towards your new environment, and the others will appear for you patiently and slowly when you need them.
Okay.
Now, just when you say that, like, I'm like, well, I guess I'm not going to school here because I was trying to enroll in school, so that was one of my things. So, my kids and I can,
If, and... You know, new location can mean many different things. You know, how far, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Can you still do it and still be close enough to your kids, still go to school? You know, you can go to school in many places. So remember that you have more options than you might think you have. And then to have faith in that.
Okay.
Not to limit your options. There's a lot out there on the horizon. As the faith card was saying, there's a lot of possibilities, a lot of things going on there. But to take the first step in a better direction.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling.
Thank you very much.
All right. And like I said, it looks positive, but it also looks rough. The positive doesn't always come easy. So, I really do wish you well.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
And I think microphone. Okay, Kevin. We have about 7 minutes left, and there you go. 352, one of the people in the chat room said, put a heart out and said, sending love to the caller. So love, prayers, and positive energy towards your new situation. And, of course, as the final card said, remember to have faith and in the first step. It's the important one to take. And the others appear because you know the staircase is there.
That's right.
And her reading definitely had a lot of newness cards in it. And your deck is very diverse because it has 111 cards, but she pretty much had almost every newness card there was. The first, the risk, the faith, the fertility. She had pretty much almost all of them.
Yep, so, definitely a call to move.
And the second card of the first two was the I'm okay, and it's okay card. So it will work, but it will require some taking the first step and stepping into a new situation. Now, when we say move, that doesn't always have to mean far, far away. It means moving out of whatever the drama situation that she may particularly be inhibiting her at the time. So, everybody, you're listening to what normally would be Spiritual Insight with Darren Bouquet, except for it's at a later hour. Normally, our Sunday show is at 7 p.m. And Darren is a reader at Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo in New Orleans. And he's getting married today, so that's why he couldn't be here to host the show.
Congratulations, Darren.
Yes. And yes, welcome everybody in the chat room as well, Gemini Moon and Random Thoughts and Advice, who just logged out, but if he listens to the archive or she listens to it, Welcome everyone and guests and the various guests that come in. This is guest 15895. And we are a network of five shows. Our Wednesday evening show is our flagship show that's called Main Street Universe. That comes on at 7 p.m. Eastern. We talk about a lot of different things. Some of our shows are reading shows like this. Not all of them are. On Friday at midnight, we have Jesse and Nicholas George at 12 p.m. And her show is called Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. She authored a book called Activating Compassion and a companion workbook, working on another one. And then on Tuesday at 11:30 a.m., our one daytime show is Mary Steeland, who's a 14-year television veteran of the show Telepathic TV with Neville Johnston. Mary and Neville are Kevin's teachers in the metaphysic and esoteric to some degree, as Kevin has had many teachers over the years. And, of course, Kevin's show on Monday evening is Walking on the Sidewalk, A Horizon Oracle's Journey. His show is at 9 p.m. Eastern. So we are show of five, network of five shows right now. And always growing, always expanding. We have a sister network out there called Cafe Fairfax, which we got like one or two shows on. And, Kevin, we're coming down to about 3 minutes and some change.
I see that.
Any final words?
I'd just like to remind everybody that when you find yourself stressed in the world and you're thinking about this, oh no, this horrible thing is going to happen, this horrible thing is going to happen, and then all of a sudden you see a yellow Volkswagen Beetle drive by, that's your divine source telling you to stop worrying about that and to shift your thinking in a new direction. It's like the yellow bug comes in and carries away that worry so that you can start focusing on something more positive or move on to your next worry in the list. You know, you want to give everything equal time because fair is fair. Right, Daniel?
Absolutely. And while you were talking about that, I drew two cards that fit that message perfectly. The Storms card, which is don't get caught up in the storms and drama. And the next one, one that came up earlier, the Frontier card. Remember that you're brave enough and talented enough to go take on the frontier and not worry too much, because you do have the tools and talents necessary to be out there on the scary frontier that is the world.
Yes.
Well, everyone, thank you for listening to us this evening. I think we will exit with the lovely lady that joined our show before, Miss Diane Arkenstone. Thank you for listening and have a good night. Thank you.